I almost ruined our business, which had grown so well and so fast by making dumb mistakes. And I realized that I needed to reinvest my time and money in understanding how to run a business, not how to dry needle somebody better. This Jim PT blueprint. So it's what we did to go from $0 in revenue day one to where we were over 10,000 in revenue each month by the sixth month that we were in business. That's not my best entrepreneurial venture though. I'll tell you, you may lose listeners for this, but I'm going to tell a story.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it poppin'.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, Maestro coming at you live with another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today I have a super special guest, and it's actually pretty funny because I was on his show and that episode just dropped today, and now he is coming on my show, and this episode will drop on Memorial Day. And we're doing that strategically because not only is this young man just all about that cash-based model and totally just killing it, crushing it there, he's also was in the Army for many years, and I thought it only appropriate to bring someone on that could kind of close that loop of learning, bring it all together for us. So without further ado, my friend, Doctor of Physical Therapy, Danny Matei. Thanks for coming on the show, dude.
That's a really epic intro.
Right? I gotta talk it up. Like, here we go.
That was so good.
That was background music.
No wonder your podcast is killing it. Your podcast is blowing up because you have the best intros besides Jimmy Matei, who I think has the best intros in the podcast game.
And I text with him every day. I'm like, Jimmy, can I make this better? What should this be?
Oh, that's a good mentor to have for podcasts. That's
right? It's all about sound. So, Danny, before we even jump into anything PT related, I did a DM not too long ago about how to say the word maestro because people were saying it maestro, and it kind of bothered me. And then people say my name, Chantel, instead of Shante, and it kind of bothers me. And your last name, it's M-A-T-T-A, which may look like Mata, like what's a Mata, but that's not how we say it. Can you give us a rundown there, please?
Oh, totally. So you're good. So it's Matei is how my family pronounces it. And I think we chat a little bit before the podcast. It's because when they, you know, my family's Italian, when they came to the United States, they went through Ellis Island, and the guy that signed them in basically just didn't think that it sounded American enough. So he dropped, it used to be D Matteo. So he dropped the DE off the front and the EO on the end. And my family was just, you know, unaware that that should be pronounced differently. So for decades now, we have, or really generations, we have been too stubborn to change it. Although I think that we probably should, because it's really like, it's starting to, I don't know, like somebody's got to break that, but it's not going to be me.
Of course not.
Not me. No, not. Maybe my son, maybe it's my brother. If he's going to cave in, but I'm not going to do it.
Like maybe one of your kids. I think that people are now going to remember that because I put a story into things and I tend to remember it. But I was like, I know when I, for those of you, the little background there, right? When I first, linked up the call with Danny, I was like, Danny, I have to ask you, how do you pronounce your last name? I'm going to ask him. Like, I think people feel foolish or whatever. I don't know, but I don't. I'm going to ask. And so I think that's a great story. So thank you for sharing. And now I'm going to always remember that, even though maybe I'll say De Matteo, because that's pretty dope too. But so I brought Danny on to talk about his cash-based PT model knowledge. But before we get into that, like a little teaser there, before we get into that, Danny, first off, thank you for your service. If you don't mind, could you just tell us a little bit of that and being a PT in the Army and whatever you want to share?
Yeah, totally. No, I always tell people, you know, thanks for your tax dollars, because like that's literally what paid my salary. So thanks to all of you for that 7 years. So my time, you know, I went in because my dad was a career Army officer, and my whole family sort of had ties to it, right? Like my
My dad was in the, or my grandfather was in the Navy for 30 years. My other grandfather was in the Air Force for 25. My dad was in the Army for 24. My mom was in the Air Force. My brother's in the Army. My sister-in-law is in the Army. My other brother-in-law was in the Army. So like we had a lot of family ties to that. It just sort of was normal for our family to go into the military. So I just felt like I knew I always wanted to do something that was more medical, and I was really interested in physical therapy and the sports kind of side of it. And working with a tactical population, I thought would be really fun, but also a way for me to serve our country in a way that I felt would, you know, match my skill sets the best. I didn't think that, like, I'm not some sort of like badass, like, you know, whatever, infantry officer or ranger. That's not me. So if you think that's just not the case, I was a physical therapist in the Army. Okay. So I help people get over back pain. the thing is, it was cool to be able to get exposure to those populations in the Army going through the Baylor program, which was just a phenomenal way for me to get a degree, but also a really kind of unique perspective on how to use it, because, you know, they know what you're going to work with and that's what you learn. So it's really tailored to like sports med, manual therapy, ortho kind of approach. So I went through that, and then I got assigned from there, which is in San Antonio, out to Hawaii, which there's an infantry division out there called the 25th Infantry Division. And I was attached to one of their brigades for a few years as a PT in the brigade. So they basically take one physical therapist and they put him into a group of about 3,500 soldiers. And yeah, so your job, it's actually a really cool job. It's actually, I think, the most pivotal job I've had in my career that led me to, be able to do the things that we do today. Is you get put into this brigade. They basically gave me an office next to the laundromat in the community building. In the middle of all these barracks, right? And I had like a high-low table, a couple kettlebells, like some TheraBand, and a desk, and that was it. And they were like, okay, you're in charge of injury treatment, injury prevention, and human performance optimization. So like, you're going to help be the strength coach. And, so you're like, damn, that's a lot of stuff for one guy.
Had those TheraBands.
Good thing I had the TheraBands and I had a high-low table, because, you know, that's all you really need to treat 3,500 people. So, what I found out really quickly was I had to understand how to leverage my skill set to these two medics they gave me. So they gave me these two medics that were both 18-year-old females, which let me describe the situation. So you're in a infantry brigade of about 3,500, mainly males, and you give me two 18-year-old females that just got out of medic training and had no physical therapy background whatsoever. So they had a really hard time with buy-in from these guys. It's just a tough situation for a young female in general.
Totally.
So we basically had to teach them how to do, you know, as much as they possibly could. And this is where my career kind of took a bit of a turn, because as I tried to figure out how to train them the best I could, I got really, I had gotten really into CrossFit at the time, but one of the coaches that I had was like, hey, you should check out this guy, Kellis Durrett. Like, he's talking about some cool stuff about self-treatment. Maybe that would help with your medics. So I went home and I went down the rabbit hole watching 60 YouTube videos, of Mobility Wad back in the day during that kind of year-long challenge that he did. And that Monday I called San Francisco CrossFit, and Kelly's wife, Juliet, picked up, and I said, look, here's the deal. Like, this is what my job is. I think what you guys are doing is pretty cool. I'd like to learn more about it so I can train my staff up. Can I come out and spend some time with your coaches? And she was like, totally, come out whenever you want. And so I went out there for a week and I worked with, their coaches, and I really didn't see Kelly much at all. He was finishing the edits to Supple Leopard version one at the time, but their staff was awesome and they were doing some really cool stuff. So came back, implemented the things that I learned, taught them how to do a lot of kind of movement and mobility approach to self-treatment and teach soldiers that. And what we saw was a really cool decrease in injury rates. We saw their PT scores go up because more people were taking the PT tests. And it was a really cool kind of twofold effect. And that sort of led to Kelly reaching out to me about the things we were doing and then inviting me eventually to come on staff and teach for the military portion of what we have and going into private practice. And it all kind of stemmed from, from the military and my jobs that I was just assigned to along the way. So it's a pretty, you know, kind of cool, full circle thing that ends up happening.
It is. It's so cool to put those pieces together for the listeners out there. Can you give us a time frame? So, I mean, it's amazing that you called San Francisco CrossFit and talked to Juliet. Like, hearing that now, you're like, what? Can you give them a time frame on this?
So that was 2011. And, it was odd because the reason you have these events in your life that are sort of like very serendipitous and you're kind of just like, how did that happen? You know? And first of all, I'm just not really scared for people to tell me no. So I figured, hey, what's the worst thing they could say? Like, exactly. No, you can't come out here, you crazy guy. So the, when I called, what people don't understand in many cases, like, in the early days, Mobility Wad, their headquarters and the gym, San Francisco CrossFit, was in a parking lot behind a sporting goods store in the Presidio in San Francisco. So they had all of their equipment stored in a Connex box, like a big Connex box. And Kelly's office was in a little Connex box that was barely big enough to get the table in it. So, when I called, the only phone they have was basically rigged from the sporting goods store to this Connex box, and they never answered it. And the only reason that they answered it was Juliet was there getting a t-shirt for somebody, and the phone was right next to the t-shirts. And it was funny to listen to her tell me this story. She's like, I never answered the phone, and I did that one time. And
look at that.
You came, you came out, and I know it was crazy. And I didn't know that until a few years ago. Juliet actually told me that story, and I was like, man, how crazy is that? Like, you guys never even answered this damn thing, and I just happened to call at the right time.
Now, I mean, I totally believe that the universe conspires. When you put stuff out there and you're moving towards goals and you're working your ass off to get what you want, the universe conspires to help you out. And the one thing that I love that you said, that I especially direct this towards females out there, is Danny said, ask. Like, what's the worst could happen? Like, they say no. I think that a lot of times as females especially, you just kind of think that you'll work really hard and maybe it'll get noticed, and then like you'll get a promotion or something will happen. And realistically, that like never happens. So you have to ask. Like, obviously, you'd be deserving of it, be working for it in the interim, of course. But ask, because what's the worst that could happen? Or, in your case, what's the best that could happen? Because look where you're at now. How did that go into starting to teach for MWAT?
So the story gets a little more interesting, right? Because what happened was Kelly. He came out to Hawaii about 8 months later, where I was stationed. And he basically said, hey, I really appreciate you I had all this data that I collected using their techniques. And he goes, I really appreciate, that we have some hard data on this. We've never really had anybody do that. I'd love to teach a day for your brigade if you think they'd be interested in it. And I said, totally. So on Friday, we had about 40 guys from our brigade that were leading physical training, and they came and we did this one day course. And he asked me to kind of help teach it because they were, my soldiers. And then he asked if, if I would want to tag along the rest of the weekend. And, I said, sure, I'd love to. And I remember that Sunday we were sitting down at this beach park, watching some people surf. And then this guy had one of those like hydro jet packs, that has like the long hose. So we're like, thinking to ourselves, like, what the fuck is that guy doing? And talking about like, just how just like amazing the island is and just crazy beautiful environment. We're sitting there drinking coffee at this beach park. And, he goes, you're good at this. You should come and teach for us. We're expanding and we're going to bring coaches on. We've got a guy at the gym. His name's Rupe Shioda. He was the first coach he had. There's a PT, and Rupe's going to start teaching for us, and we want you to come on as well. And I said, that's sounds like a cool opportunity, but I have a deployment to Afghanistan in, I leave in July. And this was November. So we were ramping up for that. And he said, no worries. It's here for you when you get back if you want it. And
that's incredible.
I know. And I told my wife, I was like, well, there's this cool opportunity. How about, I'll be gone for the year. And then when I come back, we can decide what we want to do. In May, I was at a training event with our brigade, we were basically, you know, we'd set up our mobile hospital and we're doing these different training events. And I get a text message from my battalion commander and says, deployment canceled, have a nice weekend. And I'd never been texted by this guy. You have to understand, this would be like the CEO of a company texting some like random dude. And so I'm looking at it like, the hell, this is weird. And I go over to the dentist who was next to me and I show it to him and he's like, that's really odd. Why is Colonel Honeycutt texting you? I have no idea why he did. And come to find out that what happened was our deployment got not canceled. It got reallocated to a group in the 10th Mountain because around that time, China was kind of bowing up on everybody with their ships, kind of like getting close to Guam and all this stuff. And what the government decided was that our brigade was going to turn into a Pacific region development initiative. So our brigade then turned into Pacific region development, which basically means develop better relationships with people around people we don't like. And I got a chance to train with like the Korean military and the Japanese military but didn't get a chance to go to Afghanistan because it was switched, allocated to somebody else. And my wife and I were like, man, what a crazy turn of events, because this never happens. You know, you usually, once you're slotted, you're gone. And we kind of sat down and we're like, man, there's this opportunity that we have. I think we should take it. And I always kind of wanted to do something on my own. From a business standpoint, I was very interested in private practice and, you know, just seeing what I could do with that. So we looked at this as an opportunity to potentially do both. And so we dropped our paperwork to leave the military. It's about a 10 to 12 month process to get out. Yeah. And my time commitment was up. I basically could do whatever I wanted at that point, and decided to leave the military, move to Atlanta, open a practice, and start traveling around the world teaching for Mobility Quad.
Holy smokes. I love it. The universe conspires. You take the leap. These are like all these bigger concepts that I talk about, and I'm hearing it in real time and getting goosebumps, and this is incredible. So how long, my mind over here is like, what? When did you separate then?
So I got out of the Army June 2014, and we opened our practice in Atlanta June 2014.
Yes.
I don't have time. I had two kids, man. I didn't have time to screw around with,
to fly, man. You got stuff to do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not taking a sabbatical, bro. I got to make some money. I got to put some food on the table for these little kids, get to buy some diapers. Like,
how did you juggle starting a practice and teaching for Mobility Wad?
Yeah. So Mobility Wad was great. It was super flexible. It was the weekend gig, right? Like, you know, at the time we were teaching the CrossFit movement and mobility trainer course. So, it was a 1 day course. We would usually teach a Saturday, Sunday, and, you know, we would get assignments of where we needed to go. Sometimes we could pick, locations and you know, decide where we wanted to go and stuff. And I tried to, I mean, I would take some international stuff, but, primarily I try to teach, in the Southeast, and in the East Coast, kind of where I wouldn't have to travel too far, because it's sort of tough on your spouse whenever you got two small kids and you're gone a lot. But I probably was gone 26 to 28 weekends the first 2 years of each year, about 28 weekends. And so what I did was I just opened my practice on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I figured, you know, I'll try to fill those 2 days up, and then I'll eventually add another day as I get busier. And what happened was, you know, we had, I would say by the third month in practice, we had a wait list for those 2 days. So we had to open Wednesday. And as soon as we opened Wednesday, it just like the same thing happened again, to where we had a wait list. And so we sort of had to make a decision in some ways, you know, like I don't know if you can commit to both. That's a lot of travel.
Yeah.
So I sort of dialed back what I was doing. I was only really gone like one trip a month. I tried to not do more than one, and we focused on the business and really went all in on athletes' potential and, you know, growing that in Atlanta as best we could.
So this is actually funny you say that. This is a DM. It's actually going to be tonight's DM, or maybe tomorrow's. This is basically to be okay focusing and working on one thing. I think people get so, and whether that's in clinical practice, whether that's like, I'm actually trying to grow, you know, I'm trying to get stronger, and instead of trying to get stronger and faster, it's okay to focus, really focus your efforts on one thing, and then you reap the benefits there. So Let's talk about, actually, I'm going to do a little timeout here because the loop again gets closed. So I actually took a course from Danny in, it was either June, it was either 2014 or early 2015. I took that mobility course, cause I had started CrossFit and I kind of wanted to be the mobility person in my box. And so I took the course up in like Connecticut or something like that. This was trying to be an early adopter and such. And then it's been awesome to see everything come full circle and then get to meet up with you in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Not that long ago. And just like you stay with these people, kind of everyone, people that want to be doing more and pushing forward, they all kind of continue to gravitate towards each other. So it's actually really cool now to hear the backstory from you as to what led you there. And then suddenly, my train came onto your tracks and we collided there in, I don't know, 2014, 2015, something like that.
Oh, that was cool. I mean, cause I remember, chatting with you at the course that I taught and then, I kind of, would see you on social media and then saw you started teaching as well. And, and I thought just that was just really, really cool to see that, but then to be able to go to a course that you taught, and not only that, but for it to be just such a well presented course. Like I really do think that, I've been to a lot of Con Ed courses and look, this is your podcast. I'm not bullshitting people.
I appreciate like, this.
You're one of the better instructors I've had. And it's just cool that, people like you have that kind of knack and you found it and you enjoy it. And, you get a lot of energy from doing those things because, in our profession, many people think it's just all about clinical care, like clinical care. And I think clinical care is important. I think you have to be able to practice what you preach and apply it. But, there's way more options out there to be able to have impact and also to have variation in what your week and your month looks like. And I really enjoy, being able to teach and be able to help people with business and be able to go in and, help people with back pain. Like today I had 8 patients and this weekend I'll teach a mobility WOD course, and it's just cool to be able to do different things. Cause I think it just makes you really well-rounded and it's more fun in my opinion to be able to do a few things and not necessarily just kind of have the monotony of the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. Get stuck into one. So, a few things. One, thank you, really, to hear such to get, such kind words from someone that you respect and that, is in the field is like, thank you, first off. Second, and speaking of knack, I spoke with you after the podcast, after you're doing your podcast, and 100% I felt like I heard Danny's knack. I heard your knack. This dude inspired me in like 2 seconds of talking to get up off my ass and start doing stuff to monetize my creative processes. Like I will say, I'm the first person to say, like, I'm really good at content generation. I'm good at the creative stuff, but monetizing it moving forward, because the kind of stuff that we typically think of PTs not being so good at, I'm not good at. I don't like doing them. And I spoke with Danny for, I don't know, half an hour. You graciously just spare some time for me. And I was like, dude, I that day looked more into ClickFunnels. I'm still learning, but I looked that day more into ClickFunnels. I connected with Holly to get the PDF made. Yeah. Like that day put things in place because I was like, this dude is a motivator. This dude has something to stand on. This dude knows what he's talking about. So speaking of that, because this is kind of one of the main reasons I brought you on. Can you please tell us, whatever you want to tell us, about the gym PT blueprint, about this cash-based model, about what it is that you do, and you do it so freaking well?
Yeah, so what happened, this is sort of, it's just funny when you look at, I don't know, I think people have things that come their way, and many people do not take action on opportunities, right? And that's not something that I do not think that's something that we have a problem with. If anything, it's maybe we take too much on our plate at once. And this sort of direction that's taken me in the last maybe year and a half of delving more into becoming a better business owner, and actually really this probably started a little over 2 years ago. And, you know, I don't tell people a story too often because, you know, I mean, like in business, there's failures and maybe you don't always want to highlight that stuff. But when we decided to grow, we'd gotten to a point where my schedule was super busy. We had this office in a gym, which, you know, we had set up because it's super low overhead. And it's just, it's a great place to start. It's the whole reason why I talk about this with a lot of people is I think it's a great place to start your business, but I always knew I didn't want to build my house on somebody else's foundation. So when we got to a point where we had the, you know, financial resources and we had the reputation to scale, to have a standalone facility, we decided to do that. The problem was, we'd never done that before. We didn't know the first thing about that. And we didn't have anybody to really ask that had done that. So what happened was we made like every single mistake that you possibly could make when we, you know, signed a lease. We didn't get any free month's rent, which everybody asked for, but we didn't know. So we didn't ask. Our build out took like twice as long. Our permitting got denied, and then it was the holidays and nobody works in the holidays. And then it took us like 5 months to get our business set up to where we could have this facility. And in the process, we had brought on a full-time admin person, a new physical therapist, and it was a ton of increased overhead, and we'd paid cash for a lot of the build out that we had done. So, you know, I mean, we literally, I mean, this is not an exaggeration. We literally lost like $90,000 at the end of that year in the transition from going from a single person practice in a gym to a standalone facility with staff and infrastructure. And I remember sitting there with my wife, just looking at our bank account and just calculating the number of months we had until we hit zero in the bank account, right? And we got going in March in the new facility, and we had like twice as much revenue in a month in the month of March than we'd ever had before, because everything sort of, we built all this pressure and it just hit. But I almost ruined our business, which had grown so well and so fast, by making dumb mistakes. And I realized that I needed to reinvest my time and money in understanding how to run a business, not how to dry needle somebody better. And that's what we really have focused on over the last couple of years. And our goal with a lot of this stuff is to help avoid mistakes like that, help people understand how to actually grow and start, run, and scale successful practices in this cash setting, which is so much more viable than it was even 4 or 5 years ago. And you know, the sort of initial option that we had for that is this Gym PT Blueprint. So it's what we did to go from, you know, $0 in revenue day one to scale to where we were over 10,000 in revenue each month by the sixth month that we were in business. And we basically took those systems that we used and we put it into a digital product that, you know, is anybody that's looking to do something like that is just like a straight up paint by numbers. Here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to look at. This is how you need to set up pricing and packaging. And this is how you need to market yourself to get you to that same point in the first 6 to 12 months that you're in business.
What? Huge numbers, huge earning potential. If you guys want to learn more about the Gym PT Blueprint, head on over to my website, www.themovementmaestro.com/shop. You'll see a little picture of Danny's book. You can click on it. It'll take you to everything you want to know about it. You think you're ready to pull the trigger? You can do that right there too. Again, that's www.themovementmaestro.com/shop. And now back to the show.
Work smarter, not harder. I mean, I know, like you had said, that sometimes it's like you don't want to lead with your failure, something like that. But I bring people onto this show because they're real. I, you know, quote unquote, vet people and strategically bring people on or ask people to come on because I don't want it to be just like any other show, because there's lots of great shows out there highlighting the clinical aspect of things. My main thing is to bring real people on here to show other real people that happiness is for everyone and that going and moving towards living your best life is something that's very much achievable, attainable, and, you know, something that we should be striving for. And after speaking with you last time, I was like, dude, here's someone who has a tangible product, a tangible something to help people out with that. Because I do get that question of like, you know, how, because I have a cash-based model, but a very small cash-based model, because my focus is really on teaching. But I get people, you know, asking like, what would be the best way to go about doing this? And like, that's not my forte. I've always really in life served or found more happiness in kind of connecting people and learning a lot about a lot of different things or learning enough about a lot of different things so that I could say, yeah, this is a good resource, that's not a good resource, and then pointing people in that direction. So after the conversation we had last time, I was like, dude, I gotta get, this guy is such an invaluable resource. And one of my favorite stories that you said last time was you on as a kid on in the playground, just like hawking candy, basically. And was it Warheads, Airheads? What were you
selling? I told you, I sold a lot of things as a kid. Yep. So I used to go to Sam's Club and buy Warheads, like big bag of Warheads, and I'd sell them for, you know, 25 to 50 cents a pop, you know, make a little cash like that. That's not my best entrepreneurial venture, though. I'll tell you, you may lose listeners for this, but I'm going to tell a story because it shows you that, in my opinion, I think that there's people out there, they're like weird little kids that are always trying to make money off of shit. And if you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, that sounds like me, listen up, because there's a lot of people like us out there. And it's just this fascination with being able to, you know, to make something out of nothing, pretty much, right? I always was trying to sell stuff, start little businesses. And that's something that I've been doing since I can remember. And, you know, one of my really shining moments, if you want to call it that, when I was in third grade, we lived on this military base in Columbia, South Carolina, called Fort Jackson. And I was walking my dog, Daisy, which was like a little white poodle mix in the deal, in the woods. And we walk by this tree and she pees on this tree. And in this hole in this tree, I see a magazine. I pull it out and it is a, it's a Penthouse, you know, so it's a porn magazine. And as a 10-year-old or whatever I was kid, you can imagine the amount of excitement I just holy crap, this is amazing. So I tucked it into the back of my pants and I walked home and, you know, I waited till everybody fell asleep. And then I snuck downstairs and I got a pair of scissors and I cut it up into individual pictures. And yes. I thought to myself, you know, this is worth a lot of money. If I sold the whole thing, maybe my richest elementary school friend could come up with $5. But I thought that many of them would come up with a dollar. So I proceeded to sell all these pictures at the middle or at the elementary school the next 2 days. And I made $50 off of
these
pictures. Yeah. And 100%, listen, 100% profit, $50 to a 11-year-old is like a $1 million.
Yeah.
Totally. And
for free.
Yeah.
For walking your poodle dog, your little dog. Well, that's like...
What's funny is I actually, if you go to, so my personal brand site is just drdannymatei.com. And if you go there, I tell that story in the about me page, and my parents, my mom didn't know that I did that. And she, called me after that website went live. And, of course my mom's like the first person to listen to anything or read anything that I put out. And she calls me and she was like, I am probably the most embarrassed that I've ever been in my life. And I just read your about me page.
I'd be so proud. I'm like right now over here. I'm like, and my hands are in the air. I'm like, this man is brilliant. This is a life experience. Like, man, like this is the kind of person that I want on my team. And listeners, take it for what you will. Like, this is the kind of person that I want. This is the person that wants to, like you said, creating a lot from nothing.
It's just, you know, it's a game, right? I mean, like, I think that, many people that played sports and are competitive, maybe you didn't play sports, but you may just be competitive. I like competition a lot. And business is the greatest game ever. Business is a game. And the scoreboard is revenue. The scoreboard is impact. You know, you can quantify those things. And, you know, it also sort of irks me a little bit when I, like, there's a lot of people that are talking about business and how to, you know, how to do this and that in business and these things you need to do. In our space in particular, in CashPT, there's more and more people that are getting into that kind of conversation. And I tell you, you got to be careful sometimes because there's some charlatans out there that really haven't, they just haven't been able to do it themselves. But what they decide is instead of mining the gold, they want to try to sell the shovels. And, you know, listen, I totally get it. You know, more power to you, man. Try to have as many revenue streams as possible. But ask yourself this, you know, the people that you're listening to and the advice that you're getting, are they willing to send you their actual financial documents so you can see that they've actually done what they say they've done? Because if not, then you probably need to find somebody else. And that's just the way it is, man. People will make money in many different ways. I can tell you this much: we've helped over 100 cash practices get started and grow and still in business in the last 9 months. And I'm actually more proud of that than I am with what we've been able to do with our local business here and how we've been able to grow that and employ people. And I just think our profession has an opportunity to get better at the game of business and understand how to actually develop these entities that can create financial and time freedom for themselves. And nobody's learning this in school. People aren't teaching you this, and you got to go out of your way to learn it. And if you don't, then you're really shooting yourself in the foot, because clinical skills will only get you so far.
I mean, that's the number one thing. I was, reading through the blueprint, like the webpage for the other day, and just looking at that, we're not learning it in school. And like, we learn the didactic stuff and everything else, like how to pass the boards. But it's like, you are just birthed into this life of like, I'm either going to work in a hospital, I'm going to work for somebody else, maybe I'll become like the director of this and work even more hours for theoretically less pay. And there is this huge opportunity. I actually saw, so on your blueprint, on like the intro to your blueprint, it talks about, who is this for? And one of the things is for, the student who's basically looking to at some point start a cash-based practice. As it relates to physical therapists and new grads and starting a practice, what's your feeling?
Well, I think it's totally doable. I think it depends on your confidence level. I think 80% of it is mindset, and 20% of it is skill set. So if I say this is a reference, like I had this buddy when I was in high school, and this dude was just like, on a scale of 0 to 10, he was probably a 5. Like, he's a mediocre looking dude, right? But he didn't give a fuck about getting turned down. He could care less about people saying no. And he had all this just like ridiculous confidence. I don't know if his mom was just like, you're the most attractive man in the world every night. Just like when he would go to bed, scratch his back and tell him he was the most attractive man in the world or something. But he had just this crazy amount of confidence. And he seemed like he always was dating girls that were way too hot for him. And I look back on that, I'm like, dang, this guy, John, like, he just had the mindset of success, and all of us were just like scared to even try. And I feel like business is very similar. And the people that I know that are really successful, they have really, really solid mindsets when it comes to it. Like, they feel like they're going to be successful. They live it, they breathe it. They're not afraid to get turned down. And so I think new grads can do it. It also helps if you have like a background in a specific niche that is a good niche for a cash practice. So for instance, let's say you were a competitive runner and you decide, okay, well, I wanted to start cash practice and I want to work with the endurance community. I mean, that's a perfect fit because you have this credibility from being an athlete, maybe a coach. And then now you can tack on this skill set that, you're still learning, but by and large, you're better than many people. And if they feel like you're the right fit, they feel like you're the solution, your mediocre skills may not matter as much as you think. Because if they're bought in and they really, really are compliant with what you have to say, it'll make a big difference. So I totally think it's possible. I think people can do it. And here's what I typically see with new grads. So, not to deviate, but I think that there's a few options that they see. Number one, they can go and work for a PT mill, which they know they probably don't want to do. The question I always get from people is like, okay, how do I make $100,000? I don't know why this arbitrary number is what people really want. Yeah. I mean,
that number's there.
Yeah, but where do you live? What's your cost of living? Like, how much of that are you actually keeping? How happy are you? Like, there's a lot of variables that go into that. And this idea of $100,000 is what everybody wants to make. So if you want to make $100,000, here, you can take a shitty job at a PT mill and get a director position within a couple years. And maybe, actually, you probably won't even make that. Like, but you might get
80,
I don't know, something like that, right? You can take a travel PT job and go from one podunk town that nobody wants to be in to another one every, 6 to 12 weeks. And you can just take these crappy contracts with people that you really just frankly don't get excited to work with. Or you can do home health and you can help people get off bedside commodes all day and you can make good money doing that too. But let me ask you this, does that excite you? do you wake up excited to go help people get on and off bedside commodes? Because I don't. And you know what I get excited to do is be able to help active people that value what I do, that are compliant, you know, that that are not price sensitive, and want nothing more than to work with me to achieve a goal that they haven't been able to get. And that's what a cash practice does for people, is it really gives them an opportunity to set themselves up for success in a setting that really dictates that people have skin in the game and they're going to listen to what you have to say, super compliant. And that's what we all want. I mean, we want people that will do what we say so that we can help them get better. And that's really, you know, the beauty of the cash model. Plus, you know, you can make a better living in a successful model like that than you can working for somebody else. And it's as simple as doing the math. Like, okay, let's do the math. All right. If you want to make $100,000 a year and you charge $100 an hour, you need to see 1,000 people in that year, right? So what is that? 80. I think it's 80. It would be 80 people, 83 people a month. Okay. Well, that's super low. That's too low. Don't do that. Now, let's say it's 200. What is that? That's 41 and a half people per month. Let me let that soak in for a second. I'm saying that you can make $100,000 in revenue by seeing 42 people a month if you charge a high enough premium. You could do that.
Not a week, not a day, in a month.
I could do that in a week and then take 3 weeks off every month if you wanted to. Now, that's probably not your best business model, but my point is, yeah, there's other ways to get to that, to get to that point. And not to say that there's not work involved and that there's not some risk involved, but it's not as scary as you think. And, you know, it's your company. You're working towards something that you're building, and that work feels very enjoyable, like a hobby almost, not necessarily work.
I mean, I love that, one, you give numbers. So I think, you know, people are, they like objective measures and things like that. And you can break it down to someone and say, like, here, if that's your magic number, 100,000, and here's what you have to see per month. That's it. This is a very manageable goal. I also love that you said before, and I was just having a discussion with a good friend who I'm put in touch with you, actually, trying to get
him to. Yeah, I need to connect with you, by the way. I'm going to call you, man. Sorry, I've had all these mastermind calls. I've literally talked to 15 physical therapists in the last 2 days. Oh my God, it's too much. Now I'm killing myself. I'm taking a break on this for a second.
But we appreciate it, though, because you are literally changing the world. I mean, you put those numbers out there, and I think what's cool is that you put the flip side out there, too, that if you go into traditional model, and let's say that your aspirations are, you know, okay, I'm going to be a director, you really have a ceiling on how much you can make. So if you're like a risk person, you're like looking at numbers, and you're like, oh, okay, well, Danny lost, you know, $90,000 by trying to go and do this new model. Okay, you can take that number, but then you could also realize, look at the potential that Danny has for income within this year, because all he has to do is see 40 patients in a month. And like you said, you could do it in a week. So by not switching to this model, by, you know, kind of holding on to that fear, which is okay, people do that. I'm not trying to put you guys down out there, but by holding on to this and not moving forward, you risk losing hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of dollars, not just this, you know, okay, I lost $90,000. I'm not going to do anything again because I'm scared. So I love that you present all these sides and give numbers to people.
Well, totally. And look, I mean, before we even made that transition, like in a single person cash practice in an office in a gym that had no windows. Let me set the stage for you here. I had an office that didn't smell good. That was in the corner of sort of a junky CrossFit gym on a side of town in Atlanta. Like, I didn't really know Atlanta. I'm not from here. I just picked this gym that I thought might work because it had a office and I could get it for cheap, and it just wasn't convenient to anything. And you know, we went from no patients to, you know, doing $18,000 to $20,000 in revenue a month, just me in this little cash practice with $500 in rent per month. And I can tell you this much: our little office was more profitable than that CrossFit gym that I had an office in.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't even talk to that owner about how our business was going because I didn't want him to know. And I'm telling you, the only reason that we were able to buffer the amount of mistakes that we made in that growth cycle was because we were so profitable for those 2 years going into it, and we were also super conservative with with what we did with that. And then we were able to buffer it, you know, and so in a single person practice, you can do that. Like growing, I mean, it's, there's stress involved. There's stress involved with any sort of growth. But I mean, if we hadn't done that, like we literally tripled in size within a year after we did that, because we had infrastructure that we built. It almost killed us in the process, but, you know, it really gave us all this potential going forward that we've been able to take advantage of. And, you know, even still at this point, you know, we're going to bring somebody else on this summer and continue to grow because we have the volume and we love the fact that we're able to bring these other PTs on and they really like their job. And I tell you the coolest part so far that I've had in the last month, both of the PTs that we have that are full-time PTs with us have both bought houses in Atlanta. And I'm so freaking excited for them. This is their first house they've bought, but they were able to make you know, good enough income and have stable enough jobs and feel comfortable with our company. Like we're not, you know, going anywhere. They were able to commit to buy a house. And that was a huge goal for them. And we helped them get to that point, hooking them up with our realtor and our mortgage broker and all the people that we knew that could help them get these things done because we knew that was a big deal for them. And we want them to be as happy as possible.
Dude, do you guys out there listening, do you hear the passion in this man's voice? This is what you can have going into your job every day. I brought him on here because one, he brings this fire. Two, he has resources, tangible resources for you that you can create this model either for yourself or create this model and then also help other people, not just by treating them, but he's employing these people. And for those of you out there, if you're like me, like, what? Buying a house? This is like foreign language. You could actually make enough money to buy the place that you're living. Like, it's all out there. Like, I love that you are a physical therapist. I'm a physical therapist. You know, that's my lane. And we have a bunch of listeners out there and this model will work for whatever, but obviously my lane is PT. And I love that because you're a PT, you can speak so directly and perhaps maybe it's internalized more, hopefully directly by these PTs. And you can realize that the sky is the limit. Because I know when I came out of grad school, I felt like, oh my God, I just spent $1 billion and all I can do is work in a mill. And what have I done? And here you are saying like, you have done what you needed to do and now you can do whatever you want to do.
No, you totally can. I mean, and look, that's, we live in a country that like, okay, a good example is somebody like Sarah Blakely. Like Sarah Blakely, who owns Spanx, is lives here in Atlanta, and I think she's like a perfect example that shows what you can do in the U.S. Like, so first of all, she's a female, and I'll tell you this much: I'm calling out female PTs here because there are not enough female PT private practice owners. They're not represented enough. Look, I have a mastermind group that's a paid mastermind group. There's 15 people in it, one female, one. And it's not for lack of me trying to get them in there. It's because you guys have your own set of problems. Like, we don't have to carry babies around. We're not going to necessarily be the one that stays at home as frequently. And there's definitely things that go along with that that make it more challenging. But I'm telling you, the skill set that females have, they're more nurturing by nature. They typically connect better with patients. They're more organized typically. And, you know, I'm obviously like stereotyping slightly, but this is my experience with all the PTs that we've worked with. I mean, there's all these superpowers that they have that are incredibly beneficial. They're super beneficial for business. And I just don't see enough. I just don't see enough females that are heading that direction. And I wish that there were more, because the ones that I know that are in business, like, they kill it. And to listen to Sarah Blakely talk about how she developed Spanx, and, you know, for her to be a female entrepreneur that starts a company that now is valued at $1 billion, you know, there's not a lot of other countries in the world where you can do that, where we don't have the capacity to do it. If she was born in, you know, I don't know, China or something, she's not going to have the same opportunities that she has here. So we live in a really unique, you know, country where we can do these things and we can grow it, you know? So, you have opportunities. It's just a matter of, you know, are you willing to take a chance on yourself? And that is the linchpin, man. People being scared of failing. Yes. I talked about this the other day with a friend of mine. When we started our practice, I did the math. I was like, man, okay, if we make $0 for a year and I have to hang it up, we're not going to bankrupt ourselves. And I can always go get a job making good money after that. I was not scared of that. I was scared of having to go back to practice with my tail between my legs and have to find a job and explain to people that, yeah, I gave it a try and I couldn't make it work. More than anything,
yes,
having to explain to my family that, yeah, I tried this and I know you guys told me I should stay in the Army and I didn't listen to you and it didn't work. So now I'm, you know, I'm at this hospital and it kind of sucks. And, you know, like I was scared that that would happen. And I think most people, that's very natural. But it's not enough to stop you from trying, because regret is much worse than failing. You know, and you don't want to look back and be like, damn, could I have done that? I don't know. You never even fucking tried.
Exactly. Yes. Because regret is worse than failure. You see it so much. Danny, I teach all over, and whenever I go and they bring me in for like that I'm requested to teach, right? So like before it was like Rock Tape would host the gigs and then like they would send instructors to different places. This year I've set up all my gigs. People ask me to come and then I go and teach there. Every time without fail, when I go to these places, the host or someone from the class wants to go out to dinner to talk, and they never want to talk about manipulations or dry needling or cupping or any shit like that. They are all like, I want to leave my job. I want something more. And that's why I was like, I got to get Danny in the show so I can give them a direct resource. But two, the interesting thing is that I can tell 10 people what to do and be like, here are steps that you should take, put in place to start down that road. And one person will take it. One person. And usually not a female, unfortunately. One person will take it because there is such that fear there. And you, like you said, like at the end of the day, they'll take a look back, and that regret is going to be worse, far worse than any failure. All that other stuff's going to be there to come back. Like, oh, I can fall back onto my other shitty job. It'll be there. You can go back and do that stuff if you really want. But like that regret of I never tried it. I feel something that I know I cannot swallow.
And look, I think the other big issue that we have within our profession is the lack of willingness to invest in yourself in ways besides kind of traditional skills and continuing education. So here's a good example, right? Like this Gym PT Blueprint course we have is $1,500, right? People are like, holy shit, that's a lot of money. You know, well, intentionally it is, because I want you to feel like you have to earn it back, you know, it's no different than a continuing ed course. If you're going to drop $1,500 to get some certification, I bet your ass, you're going to be studying that. You're going to be implementing it. You're going to do more with it. But here's what I want to put in perspective, you know, for people like think, okay, this course that is going to show you how to start a practice and grow it. And this, I'm not necessarily trying to sell you guys on this, do whatever the fuck you want, but think of it this way, you know, if you invest $1,500 in something that's going to help you generate $100,000 in something that you're going to enjoy doing, what is the return on investment for that? Now, let's say you're going to go to a couple courses and you're going to learn some new skill that's going to help you maybe marginally get better results. You know, there's very few things that I've gone through that are like game changers for me. I've been to a lot of Con Ed courses. I spent a lot of money on Con Ed, and you know, and the Army spent a lot of money for me to go to Con Ed courses. And I can tell you $1,500 on continuing education budget is not a lot of money. And none of that is going to create the skill set or opportunity for you to actually get huge return on investment from that, both, you know, personally and financially. So this idea of, oh man, I'm not getting CUs for that. I can't invest in that. What's that going to do for me? Yes. Well, dude, what are you talking about? You're learning a skill on how to like sell and market and establish finances appropriately and actually build a business. They didn't teach you this shit in school. You know, you have to learn this on your own. And so it drives me crazy when I hear people and they're like, oh, you know, well, I think I'm just going to figure it out on my own. I'm like, look, dumbass, I tried to do that and almost lost $100,000.
Exactly. And,
you know, like I get it. More respect to you if you think you want to do that. But as soon as that happened, I got involved in mastermind groups here in Atlanta. I got involved in mastermind groups, which are nationally. And I started spending time around other business owners that were not physical therapists. And this is, I think, really important. The lady that runs my local mastermind group owns a company called Arden's Garden. Arden's Garden is a local juice company, but it's big. I mean, it's an 8-figure business. And she's a badass, dude. And I can tell you this much, every single successful person I've ever met invests in business. They have mentors, they have coaches, they have masterminds they're a part of. They're doing these things because they're developing these skills that are going to return in huge ways on their ability to impact other people and to generate revenue. And if you just think that you can just be a great PT and that's all you need to do in order to, you know, like develop a business and grow and potentially take yourself out of that business and have an entity that generates money for you and you're not there, well, you're sadly fucking mistaken, because you're not going to know what to do and you're just going to end up being really busy and have a job, not a business.
Yes, exactly, that you hate. And it's suddenly that dollars for hours, and you're like, I don't have enough hours and I don't have enough dollars and now I don't have enough years left because I've been
stressed, man. Okay, let's say you're 70 years old. Yeah. What are you going to do, man? You're going to be getting that little belt around somebody's hip. You're going to be doing a little mobilization with movement and some internal rotation, you know? No, you're not going to do that. You're going to be tired of doing that. You're going to want to do something else, you know? And that's why everybody gets into administration. Administration is boring. You know, man, I'd rather be able to be creative and do things. And it's not just cash practices. Like, we have all these opportunities. Like, think about this. Like, I talked to you about this, you know, you've got this big following, people like you, they trust you, you know, you've got all these, you know, really good ideas you've been able to synthesize. You're looking at doing a course. You can have digital products. You could have a group, your own sort of group that's a development group where people are actually able to, you know, pay to come together and be in this really high level group that's going to help progress their careers forward. I mean, you could do remote programming. You could do telehealth. You can do all kinds of stuff where you don't necessarily have to do just one-on-one PT. I think you can make a great income, a great living doing one-on-one PT, and there's plenty of resources and options to do that, but don't neglect the fact that there's a lot of other options out there to do consulting and all kinds of other stuff where you can have then multiple revenue streams and have a ton of financial just safety, because you now have these multiple streams that are leading into one area. And if you're not a dumbass with your money, then that should be a safe investment for you long term.
All the things. I have to say it again. Do you guys hear the passion? Like, one, I hear it. Two, I see it, because I'm looking at the Zencastr thing and you see the waveforms in front of me. I'm like, this guy is bringing the fire right now. The waveforms are going crazy on the recording here and I love it. Like, you guys out there, Danny's not going to sell it. He said, do whatever you want, but I'm going to sell it. Take his program. And I'm going to actually give props to your mom. I have to call her out too, because Danny has this mastermind group. And he was posting pictures of it online, and it's glaringly obvious.
It's a bunch of dudes. That
there's no females in it. It's a bunch of dudes. And I was like, what is these brochachos? And I reached out to you, and we actually spoke during your podcast. And you were just like, listen, my mom reached out to me and was like, hey, Danny, what's the deal? And Danny, I mean, that's another reason I brought you on the show, because Danny answered that. And Danny was like, it's not because we didn't try. And I love that you call the females out, and I'll do the same thing. Like, we need more females doing this. Like, this, here are resources. I'm giving them to you and saying, here's a resource. Please take it and run with it. This man already went through all this stuff and is telling you, here are all the steps. If you go and just check out what it's about, there's everything that it encompasses, the things that you're going to learn. It's not just some shiesty car salesman approach, because that's always my thing, is like, what are you selling me? I don't want to be the salesman. So that's why I was like, before I bring this person on, let me go look into this. It's legit. Danny's a legit guy. And at the end of the day, like you said, do whatever you want. He's not here to be like, oh, you must do this. So,
hey, you know, it's funny. I had all these mastermind calls today, right? And the mastermind is very expensive, and it's like that on purpose, because we want people to feel borderline uncomfortable saying yes to this. But you know, for people in our group that are doubling their business in a year, like, it's crazy to see what they're implementing. And I mean, people need that accountability. It's kind of wild. But you know, some of these people, you know, they I don't know. I mean, sometimes you're talking to people and you don't really know their intentions and stuff. And, you know, they're like, well, okay, why are you doing this? You know, I'll tell people, you know, like, listen, if you buy this course, you join my mastermind, like, it doesn't change my life, right? Like, it doesn't change where I can live. It doesn't change what I drive. It doesn't change what kind of clothes I wear. It doesn't change what I can get at a fucking restaurant. All right. It doesn't change my life one damn bit. I don't need your money. Okay. The reason that it costs something is because if it didn't, you wouldn't do it. And free advice is just that, free. Yes. And nobody follows through on it. But when you pay attention. You know, so, and I can tell you this much, like people can get a refund on this sucker. We've had over 100 people buy this sucker and start practices. I've had one person ask for a refund, and it was literally 1 hour after he bought it. And he goes, "I'm just scared. I think I got myself into the, over my head. I'm not ready to do this yet. Can I get a refund?" And I was like, "Sure, dude."
Like, okay, yeah. Artist. So it wasn't like he was disappointed.
I was like laughing. I was like, "Dude, it's fine. Don't worry, man. It's all good." And you know, if you want to do this some other time, like, let's do it. I think he just got like an entrepreneurial seizure online late at night one night and was like, "Okay, man, I can do this." And then instantly, as soon as his credit card got processed, he was like, I gotta get a refund. I can't do this.
Oh, good. No good. So if folks want in, I have actually a code I'm going to put on my website. I have my developer doing that because I finally grew up and got someone to make this website for me, because Lord knows I was trying to juggle that myself. And it's like, no more of this. But if they want to check you out, Danny.
Well, look, I'll tell you this much. Like, if you're interested in that program in particular, go to the Movement Maestro's website and use the link that she has on her page, because she's an affiliate for this, and she'll make money off of it, and she's awesome, and she needs to have a house by the beach, and you know, that's the goal. So don't go anywhere else but there, and make sure that you get, you know, just take a look at it there. We're not telling you to actually, you know, just go there and buy it, but you know, take a look at it, see the people that we have that give you an idea of what they've been able to do with it, and just so you know, we want to make sure you get credit for any of those folks that have a connection with you that come our way. Head there. If you want more information on me and what we got going on, I would go to drdannymattei.com. So it's drdannymattei.com. And you can read my elementary school pornography selling story there in my bio. You can listen to all the PT Entrepreneur podcasts that we have. Right now, I think we're in like in the 70s. I don't know. Let me see. What are we? I don't know. Something like that. We've been doing it two a week since August, which has been really cool. You know, we got a really neat following with that. And every, you know, people like Shantae were able to get on there and really have cool conversations with people who are doing big things. So PT Entrepreneur Podcast, you can check that out on iTunes. And if you're really interested in this stuff and you want to get involved in a free community, the best place to go is to Facebook. And there's the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group, which is, there's about 800 of us in it right now. But what's really cool is, like, you know, you can get help from people that are in it right now, right? I moderate it. The head business coach we have, yes, Eve Gigi, moderates it. But all these other people within it answer each other's questions and help each other along. And it's just a cool place to be around people that are trying to do more than just the status quo and just be normal. So if you're like, man, I feel sort of like I alienated and I want to do these things, but people keep telling me not to do them, man, get yourself around people that are going to motivate you. And you know, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time around. So get some new fucking friends and stop listening to those other people that just tell you the wrong stuff, because they're probably just worried about, you know, you failing, and they're probably jealous that maybe they wish they had aspirations that you do. And you know, don't listen to that stuff, man. People are negative sometimes, and it's not their fault. You know, it's just human nature. Sometimes you see somebody trying to do more, just trying to drag them down.
You see that scarcity mindset all too often. I'm going to put all of that in the show notes, because Danny just did a knowledge bomb of information of all the things. Definitely, you know, check out his podcast. Definitely, I'm going to also say follow Danny on social media, because the stories are so funny. Like, your kids are like, Danny's over there playing with Nerf guns. Like, it's, in my opinion, very funny. And he practices what he preaches. Speaking about, you know, going and taking courses and learning outside, you did like was it a ClickFunnels like meeting group thing in Disney?
Yeah. So, well, I just, you know, true. I mean, my goal at this point is, there's a lot of people like you that are better practitioners and just smarter educators than I am. And I think that's, you know, that area is we're good there. We got some really good people that are doing that. But what we lack skill sets, or our skill set really is in the ability to improve in four areas. So there's sales, marketing, people, and processes. So those are the four areas I spend a lot of time, money, and energy seeking out experts in those fields and going to learn from them. I'll be in San Diego for a couple of days here in at the end of this month for a mastermind group that I'm a part of, which is all digital marketing, digital content, digital businesses. You know, every month I spend at least 5 to 6 hours with my local mastermind group going to our business development. You know, I'll go to marketing conferences, sales conferences, all kinds of stuff. And it's because, you know, what I want to do is take these higher level concepts that people are using very successfully in other businesses and be able to disseminate them down to how do physical therapists, how does our profession apply this in a way? Because I mean, think about how beneficial our profession is to other people, man. I mean, we help people avoid surgeries. We help people get back to enjoying their lives and be more physically active. We help them just enjoy being around their friends and family and get more out of life, more meaningful time out of life. And we're also a very cost-effective option. And the more we can get our message across to other people, the more successful practices we can have, and the less PTs are going to be out there that wish they hadn't gone to school and wish that they hadn't gotten all these loans and wish they were doing something else, because man, our job is awesome. And, you know, we just need to be able to be successful within that. And that comes down to some of these other things that many people just don't prioritize yet, but that's changing. And we're part of a really cool movement, and guys, you're in it, man. In 5 years, we're going to look back and be like, damn, remember when we had that cash PT revolution that was going on, the fucking renaissance that we're all a part of? How cool was that? You know, and that's what's happening. We're a part of it. It's just really fun to be in it and see it, and also, you know, appreciate what's going on. You guys are part of it. It's happening right now.
I love that. The cash based renaissance. I love it. This is like, I'm writing down furiously over here, all these things. Like, I got to definitely have you back on again. And part of that's like for accountability to myself, so I can be like, you know, have you on in a few months and be like, and then I did this, and I did this.
We should totally do that.
I did this,
and you know, that's a great idea. So here's what we should do. We should do like a coaching call where I'll make you feel really bad in front of your whole audience because you don't know your numbers and you didn't do everything you said you were going to do. Yeah. But that puts the pressure on it, man. You better. Yeah. I think it's a great idea. I think everybody would want to hear that. Yeah. And I'll grill you a little bit on what you should be doing. But I mean, look, you know what's going on. Like, look, you got the opportunity to create both time and financial freedom for yourself, and frankly, generational wealth. Like, let's put that in perspective. Yes. Okay. When we say generational wealth, we mean your ability to change the course of your family's life going forward in many, many ways, okay? And you cannot do that by taking a 9-to-5 working for somebody else if you don't have other revenue streams associated with it. I mean, what you could do with different courses and digital products and being able to actually organize that in a way where you can impact so many people is amazing. But on the return of that, I mean, the amount of revenue you can generate, like, this is no joke. You know, in 5 years, you should have a 7-figure business around the Maestro. And if you're not, then you did something wrong and you didn't work hard enough or you didn't organize it well enough. And you should be living in that beach house like you said you wanted to do. And you should be fucking drinking a margarita every Friday night, thinking about how awesome this is and how great it was that we had this conversation about what you should be doing. And that, man, we're so thankful that that actually happened.
Yes. I mean, that's why I thank you endlessly last time. I was like, I had an email to this guy immediately, and I thank you again endlessly today. You have that. You have found your knack. You said it. There's PTs out there that are really good clinically, that are really good at teaching, whatever. You found your knack. You found your forte. You found what you need to be doing, your calling, or what the world needs you to be doing. I don't know if it's what you need to be doing, but what the world needs you to be doing. And I am endlessly grateful in my way. People ask, like, oh, can I pay you back? Like, show up with attitude, whatever. My way is that I'm actually going to do my shit. Like, you told me, you're telling me things to do, I'm going to do it. Because it's really annoying when people don't do it. Like, you're like, just do what I ask you to do. So I'm going to be the diligent patient, the diligent client, and actually do my HEP and go forth.
Your business HEP.
That's it. Business HEP. Right?
It's done. Yeah, it's great. I'm excited for you, man. You got such a cool opportunity. And you're a genuine person. It's obvious when people come to your courses, the people that listen to this, obviously, you know, they resonate with what you have to say. And that's step number one, right? Like, you can't just fake it. You can't try to trick people. It doesn't work. So step number one, you got it. Step number two, organize yourself and get better at the skills that you don't have yet, but you need to learn. And we're here to help, and people need it. People will get a lot out of it. And it's what we need to do going forward to really drive our profession in the direction that it needs to go, to have bigger impacts on other people, more people in the world.
Ripple effect in as many ways as possible. I love it. Danny, any parting words? I mean, you've given so many words. Let's keep talking. Any parting words?
I mean, we could talk for a long time. You could tell, what's funny is you get two people that are used to teaching weekend long, courses. For us to talk for 10 hours a day is just sort of a Saturday. So it's probably good that we cut this around an hour. Otherwise, it'll be epic Joe Rogan, like a Joe Rogan pod. We start talking about coyotes and chemtrails and all kinds of random stuff. And I just want to say thanks for having me on your podcast. I'm excited that, you took this project on. I think podcasts are such a good form of content that people can digest, on the run while they're working out, while they're traveling, commuting, whatever it might be. And it's really changed my profession quite a bit. It's changed my ability to impact other people. And this is a really cool opportunity that I'm thankful for that you invited me on. And I'm glad that, we're friends, and this is cool for us to be able to catch up. And when you come down to Atlanta in June, my wife's going to try to talk you into working for us, which is not going to happen. I already told her that, but it doesn't mean she's not going to try.
You never ask, right?
But we'll take you out to dinner. And look, this is the other thing is we're both people that, get out within our communities and within physical therapy. And it's so cool to be able to do that, right? When you go to conferences and people pick your brain on stuff, and you're just a few minutes with somebody that feels like they know you because they watch your YouTube or your Instagram video or they listen to a podcast. And, I'm just very, very thankful to be in this position to where we can help other people and leverage that knowledge, the little bit that we have, maybe more than other people, into helping as many people as possible.
Thank you. You said all the points, you hit all the nails on the head. And for sure, I'm taking you up on June. It's coming up fast and furious. Of course, I actually have to book that flight. I just
got real good. What's your favorite kind of food? I'm interested. Ideally, you go to a new city, you're like, dude, I got to have this kind of food. What's your go-to?
So I came from New York, so I've always had good food. I like to travel. If I'm going to travel and it's going to be food, it's going to be kind of like comfort food. Mm. The South is always the best for that. Or if you're going in the Southwest, and it's kind of like Mexican Tex-Mex. I consider that also comfort food. That's the kind of stuff that I'm like, if I'm going to travel and splurge, I don't want some little frou-frou, the food isn't touching on the plate. Some good Southern food.
Yeah, I don't want deconstructed banana pudding. Banana pudding.
Give me all the calories and all the sugar. What do you think?
All right. Well, I get it. I'm thinking of some places right now. We'll take you out to a nice, Southern comfort food dinner.
I love it. You're going to order, what did you order last time? The pork or the fish? Which one would you do?
No. So we were at a barbecue restaurant and I was like, I really like salmon. And they had some smoked salmon. We're in Columbia, South Carolina. And you were like, are you seriously going to order fish at a barbecue restaurant? And you shamed me out of it. I ordered the pork and the pork was good, but you know what? I kind of wish I'd had that salmon afterwards. On the drive home, I was like, man, I kind of wish I had that salmon, but she kind of punked me up.
Well, I'll take full responsibility. You really shouldn't be ordering salmon.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm trying to be manly and all and order pork, but dude, I like some fish.
I love it. Danny, all right, I'm going to wrap this because I know I could talk forever, but we're going to have another one in a few months because I have to check in as accountability.
Let's do it.
But until then, thank you. Not only for coming on and sharing your story, but for your service, for everything. This is, and for what you're doing. Just, you continue to give. And I speak for everyone right now, is eternally, eternally grateful for the opportunities presented. So thank you. endlessly. I'm glad that you found that porn magazine so long ago. It continues to fuel your fire for the entrepreneurial lifestyle, and it's still burning so bright.
This business was built on candy and pornography.
That's the name of it. That's amazing. I love it. Candy and pornography. That's going to bring us full circle, my friends. Until next time, Maestro and Dr. Danny Matei, not Mata.